The title of my sermon today is, Will Humans Become Obsolete? Will humans become obsolete? Artificial intelligence has taken the world by storm in the past few years. It has already changed the way that people learn, how they create, how they get work done. Only a few short years ago, searching for information online involved using a search engine, finding the best results, and reading something that a human wrote. Of course, there has been powerful AI involved in the search ranking process for a very long time, but the information retrieval was by a human being. Now things are different. Searching for information is, by comparison, inefficient. We look for AI-generated answers in our search engine, or bypass the old way altogether and go directly to an AI service like ChatGPT. We're seeing AI generate written content, photographs, videos, and more. It's everywhere. Generating content is just the beginning, too. We're beginning to see a surge in AI agents that actually do things that we ask them to. This is far more powerful than having a dialogue with an AI chatbot to learn from. Now, AI agents are starting to do people's work for them. When we are in control of a situation, it is thrilling to see and use, truly. Using AI can save a lot of time doing work that normally involves a lot of thinking and taking calculated actions by a person. The first topic that comes up after talking about all of the exciting things that AI can do for us is, what about me? Is my job at risk? Is my job at risk? What is going to happen to all the jobs? Advanced professions like attorneys, like software engineers, that required a lot of knowledge and skill can be performed by AI agents. Experts in the field of AI like Mo Gaudat, former CEO of Google X, and Dr. Roman Yampolsky, one of the strongest voices in AI safety, are sounding alarms about the unfettered power of AI. The future in the next 2 to 5 years will introduce problems that start with unemployment and job loss. More and more work will be something that can be automated. The capability to replace humans will exist very soon. Again, I repeat my title, Will Humans Become Obsolete? It begs the question, will we become obsolete? What am I going to do with my life? What is the value of my life? What does the future hold for humanity? These are real questions that many, most, or all of us are starting to ask because suddenly technology is capable of beating us at our own game. What I want to do today is answer this question. What does the future of humanity hold? We can see that the state of our world today is that there is a threat that people will become obsolete. Is that threat real? As I proceed today, I want you to think about one thing. What is the value system that is in control? Think about what is the value system that is in control? Let's start with the near future. In 2 Timothy 3, we begin at verses 1 through 5. Second Timothy 3 and verse 1. But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. For men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, and from such people turn away. This describes a value system that is in effect today. This is the worldly way of life, feeding only the appetites of human pride and carnal desire. It is this value system that Satan has sown into the hearts of human beings everywhere. It is greedy and power-hungry, with complete disregard to the love of others and the love of God. When we see a value system like this in control, the results are destructive. That is a key point. The results are destructive. Unfortunately, this is what will take more control as the day of the Lord draws near. Let's go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 3 through 4. 2 Peter 3 and verse 3. Knowing this first, that scoffers will come in the last days, walking according to their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of creation." People will not have the love of God, but they will lack faith that Jesus Christ will return. Why? Why is that the case? Because these people will be setting their beliefs based on their carnal value system. They will feed their own lusts, in which there is no space for the love of God and no room for faith. Matthew 24, verses 4 through 14. That's where we'll go next. This gives us some of the signs of the times. Matthew 24, verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation, and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be famines, pestilences, and earthquakes in various places. All these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my name's sake. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations. And then the end will come." The days and years that precede the return of Christ are simply not good. People will fight against one another, betray friends, betray family. It is sad to consider how cold-hearted people will become. And we can see exactly why it will happen. It is lawlessness that is at the root of people's lack for love of others. These things have to happen before Jesus Christ returns. This is what is the result of the value system that we see today. This is the result of the value system we see today. Jeremiah 30, verses 5 through 7. Jeremiah 30 and verse 5. For thus says the Lord, we have heard a voice of trembling, of fear, and not of peace. Ask now and see whether a man is ever in labor with child. So why do I see every man with his hands on his loins like a woman in labor, and all faces turn pale? Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it, and it is the time of Jacob's trouble, but he shall be saved out of it. The quality of life at this age, at this stage on the world scene, is also not good. The value system of self-seeking comes to fruition in the form of fear and violence. We can see how people will reap what they sow. There is an end to this terrible state of being, though. God promises relief. Going back to Matthew 24, reading verses 21 and 22, a scripture that gives us all hope. Matthew 24, verses 21 and 22. For then there will be great tribulation, such as has not been since the beginning of the world until this time, no, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved, but for the elect's sake, those days will be shortened. Man, left to his own devices under the influence of Satan, would eventually wipe out humanity. When we hear about the warnings that AI will be the cause of the downfall of humanity, we don't really hear about what the downfall of humanity actually looks like. The Bible makes it clear that AI itself is not the problem. It is people under the influence of Satan that bring about the demise of humanity. It is Satan's value system. People who do not acknowledge the power of God and submit to him is what threatens to make people obsolete. Fortunately, God will not let humankind destroy itself into extinction. In mercy, for the sake of the elect who do submit to God, Jesus Christ will put an end to destruction. Quoting from Proverbs 14 and verse 12, there is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. What we see is a difference between man's way of doing things and God's way of doing things. People would become extinct, obsolete, if God would not intervene. The way of God must fully replace the way of man, because man is under the influence of Satan. That's how things will look in the near future. Well, it gets better. It gets far better. Let's look at the millennial future. The near future, unfortunately, looks quite grim. What role AI will play in that set of events is unclear, but it is also unimportant. The blame for the coming demise in the world lies with the carnal value system that people use and that Satan inspires. Satan inspires the value system that will threaten to destroy us. But at the return of Christ, this will all change. Let's look at Revelation 20, and I'll read verses 1 through 3. Revelation 20, verse 1. Then I saw an angel coming down from heaven, having the key to the bottomless pit and a great chain in his hand. He laid hold of the dragon, that serpent of old, who is the devil and Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years, and he cast him into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal on him so that he should not deceive the nations, no more till the 1,000 years were finished. But after these things, he must be released for a little while. The influence of Satan will come to an end at the beginning of the millennium. At that time, this predator, who is truly behind the initiative to destroy life through deception, will not be able to influence people anymore. Just at the point when people are about to become obsolete, things will turn in the other direction. The rulership of Jesus Christ will take over instead. There will be a progression in the future history of humanity, beginning with coming out of captivity. Unfortunately, there will be a captivity, but we can read how many will come out of it. Let's turn to Jeremiah 32 and read about that, starting in verse 37. Jeremiah 32 and verse 37. Behold, I will gather them out of all countries where I have driven them in my anger, in my fury, and in great wrath. I will bring them back to this place, and I will cause them to dwell safely. They shall be my people, and I will be their God. Then I will give them one heart and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and their children after them. And I will make an everlasting covenant with them, that I will not turn away from doing them good, but I will put my fear in their hearts so that they will not depart from me. Yes, I will rejoice over them to do them good, and I will assuredly plant them in this land with all my heart and with all my soul. People will not become extinct. The purpose they have is to serve God, not themselves. People will not serve themselves. After they've gone through the suffering in captivity, they will come out, living as an example of how to serve God. Turning to Isaiah 2, verses 2 through 24, we can see the establishment of the kingdom of God. Isaiah 2, beginning in verse 2. Now it shall come to pass in the latter days that the mountain of the Lord's house shall be established on the top of the mountains and shall be exalted above the hills, and all nations shall flow to it. Many people shall come and say, come and let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob. He will teach us his ways, and we shall walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go forth the law and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. He shall judge between the nations and rebuke many people, for they shall beat their swords into plowshares and their spears into pruning hooks. Nations shall not lift up sword against nation, neither shall they learn war anymore. The establishment of the kingdom of God will open up the opportunity to learn about the truth. This is where we see the predominant value system on the earth become righteous. Leading up to this point, most people on earth will be following after their own lusts and reaping the consequences. But the way of God will dominate instead. People will be able to learn and experience how love and joy are the results of obeying God's love. We see a replacement of the value system from Satan's value system to God's value system. There will be a replacement of the value systems from God's or from Satan's to that of God's. Jeremiah 3, verses 17 through 18. Jeremiah 3 and verse 17. At that time, Jerusalem shall be called the throne of God, and all the nations shall be gathered to it, to the name of the Lord, to Jerusalem. No more shall they follow the dictates of their evil hearts. In those days, the house of Judah shall walk with the house of Israel, and they shall come together out of the land of the north to the land that I have given them as an inheritance to your fathers. Here we see the opposite of what we read about in 2 Timothy. Instead of being lovers of themselves, seeking to fulfill their carnal lusts, they will not follow the evil of their hearts. They will learn their instructions from Jesus Christ. It is beautiful to see. Well, what else will it be like? Let's turn to Ezekiel 38 and read verses 8 through 12. Ezekiel 38, verse 8. After many days you will be visited. In the latter days you will come into the land of those brought back from the sword and gathered from many people on the mountains of Israel, which had long been desolate. They were brought out of the nations, and now all of them dwell safely. You will ascend, coming like a storm, covering the land like a cloud, and you and your troops and many peoples with you. Thus says the Lord God, on that day it shall come to pass that thoughts will arise in your mind, and you will make an evil plan. You will say, I will go up against a land of unwalled villages. I will go to a peaceful people who dwell safely, all of them dwelling without walls and having neither bars nor gates, to take plunder and to take booty, to stretch out your hand against the waste places that are again inhabited, and against the people gathered from the nations who have acquired livestock and goods, who dwell in the midst of the land. Some are converted, dwelling safely, living productive lives in an agrarian society. They live in peace and prosperity because they follow God. However, we can see that there are still some who are not yet converted. This describes people who are still very human, still influenced by their carnal desires. But that way of living will rapidly decline because, quite simply, it does not work. Does not work. Let's turn to Amos chapter 9 and read verses 13 through 15. Amos 9, verse 13. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when the plowman shall overtake the reaper, and the treader of grapes him who sows seed. The mountains shall drip with sweet wine, and the hills shall flow with it. I will bring back the captives of my people Israel. They shall build the waste cities and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and drink wine from them. They shall also make gardens and eat fruit from them. I will plant them in their land, and no longer shall they be pulled up from the land I have given them, says the Lord your God. Their activities are building. Their activities are planting. We can see the abundance of people's hard work. God allows them to profit from their work. God allows them to profit from their work. Isaiah 61, verses 4 through 7. What else do we see when God's value system is in control? Isaiah 61, verse 4. And they shall rebuild the old ruins. They shall raise up the former desolations. And they shall repair the ruined cities, the desolations of many generations. Strangers shall stand and feed your flocks, and the sons of the foreigner shall be your plowmen and your vine dressers. But you shall be named the priests of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. In this passage, we can see that non-Israelites will participate in the good work as well. We can see that joy and well-being result from serving God. Jeremiah 33, verses 7 through 9. We read about rebuilding. Jeremiah 33, beginning in verse 7. And I will cause the captives of Judah and the captives of Israel to return, and will rebuild those places as at the first. I will cleanse them from all their iniquity by which they have sinned against me. And I will pardon all their iniquities by which they have sinned and by which they have transgressed against me. Then it shall be to me a name of joy, a praise, and an honor before all nations of the earth. Who shall hear all the good that I do to them? They shall fear and tremble for all the goodness and all the prosperity that I provide for it. The people who are alive during the millennium will learn about the error of their ways. They will repent from their sins, and they will find that joy and obedience to God replaces it. Spiritual renewal and forgiveness is what we will see at this time. Isaiah 65, verses 21 through 23. We can see people working with their hands. Isaiah 65, verse 21. And they shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree, so shall be the days of my people. And my elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth children for trouble, for they shall be the descendants of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. People will be productive instead of destructive. Their work will be blessed. Why? Because God's value system is in control. God's value system is in control. Isaiah 29, verses 22 through 24. Isaiah 29 and verse 22. Therefore, thus says the Lord, who redeemed Abraham concerning the house of Jacob. Jacob shall not now be ashamed, nor shall his face now grow pale. But when he sees his children, the work of my hands in his midst, they will hallow my name and hallow the Holy One of Jacob and fear the God of Israel. These who erred in spirit will come to understanding, and those who complained will learn doctrine. There is a conversion among people who will learn and understand the truth. When Jesus Christ is ruling on the earth, the truth will be easily available. People will want to learn it as well. It is an exciting time to consider. Turning to Zechariah chapter 8, verses 21 through 23. Zechariah 8, verse 21. The inhabitants of one city shall go to another, saying, "Let us continue to go and pray before the Lord and seek the Lord of hosts. I myself will go also. Yes, many peoples and strong nations shall come to seek the Lord of hosts in Jerusalem and to pray before the Lord. Thus says the Lord of hosts, in those days 10 men from every language of the nations shall grasp the sleeve of a Jewish man, saying, 'Let us go with you, for we have heard that God is with you.'" Can you imagine this time? People will have their minds open to the fact that they have been sold a lie, the lie of Satan's value system. Satan's value system is a lie. They will understand that that value system promoted by Satan today, that prioritizes pride and selfishness, is inferior to the way of God. They will want to learn about it so they can really live a better life. Isaiah 25, verses 6 through 9. Isaiah 25, beginning in verse 6. "And in this mountain the Lord of hosts will make for all people a feast of choice places, a feast of wines on the lees, of fat things full of marrow, of well-refined wines on the lees. And he will destroy on this mountain the surface of the covering cast over all the people, and the veil that is spread over all the nations. He will swallow up death forever, and the Lord God will wipe away tears from all faces. The rebuke of his people he will take away from the earth. For the Lord has spoken, and it will be said in that day, 'Behold, this is our God. We have waited for him, and he will save us. This is the Lord. We have waited for him. We will be glad and rejoice in his salvation.'" In this, we see that people are worshiping God and rejoicing in it. Look at all the good things that happen when God's value system is in control. All these good things come from God's value system. Isaiah 30, verses 18 through 22. Isaiah 30 and verse 18. "Therefore the Lord will wait, that he may be gracious to you, and therefore he will be exalted, that he may have mercy on you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. He will be very gracious to you at the sound of your cry. When he hears it, he will answer you. And though the Lord gives you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teachers will not be moved into a corner anymore. But your eyes shall see your teachers. Your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, "This is the way, walk in it." Whenever you turn to the right hand or whenever you turn to the left, you will also defile the covering of your images of silver and the ornament of your molded images of gold, and you will throw them away as an unclean thing. You will say to them, "Get away." The teachers are going to be the ones who have experience living in obedience to God. Who are the teachers? The teachers are you and me. The ones who are in the first resurrection, who are changed into spirit at the time of Christ's return, will become perfect. These are the ones who will help guide the people alive during the millennium, helping them to understand what they should and should not do. Isaiah 38, verse 18, we see the relationship between parents and their children. Isaiah 38 and 19. The living man, he shall praise you as I do this day. The father shall make known your truth to the children. Learning will proliferate. People learn from the leadership of Jesus Christ. They will share that knowledge with their children. This is the same thing that we do as parents today, because we use God's value system today. We use God's value system today. Isaiah 48, 17. Isaiah 48, verse 17. Thus says the Lord, your Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, I am the Lord your God, who teaches you to profit, who leads you by the way you should go. The learning that we will do will help people to profit, but in the right way. God wants people to prosper, and they will. Can you imagine what the world will be like when people learn to conduct business in the ways taught by God? How great will that be? It's not that way today. Turning to Zechariah chapter 8, verses 3 through 8. Zechariah 8 and verse 3. Thus says the Lord, I will return to Zion and dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. Jerusalem shall be called the city of truth, the mountain of the Lord of hosts, the holy mountain. Thus says the Lord of hosts, old men and old women shall again sit in the streets of Jerusalem, each one with his staff in his hand because of his great age. The streets of the city shall be full of boys and girls playing in the streets. Thus says the Lord of hosts, if it is marvelous in the eyes of the remnant of this people in these days, will it also be marvelous in my eyes? Says the Lord of hosts. Thus says the Lord of hosts, behold, I will save my people from the land of the east and from the land of the west. I will bring them back, and they shall dwell in the midst of Jerusalem. They shall be my people, and I will be their God, in truth and righteousness. The joy that we get to see at this time is wonderful. Instead of people fighting against each other, We get to see people coming together to enjoy peace and prosperity. Love for family, love for other people, and the love of God will be in people's hearts. And the results will be good. There will be safety and peace. There will be safety and peace. Children playing in the streets in Jerusalem, of all places. The millennial time is something that is truly special. It marks a sharp contrast to the decline that we will inevitably see in humanity. Just at the point when people will make themselves obsolete, God will step in to intervene. He will then establish his kingdom so that people will really be able to prosper. Will humans become obsolete? No. At least not yet. Let's talk about the far future. God did not create man as flesh and blood to live in this state indefinitely. He has a bigger plan, and his plan involves people in their physical state to expire. This is not the end of life, though. The end of physical life, when human beings become obsolete, is the beginning of eternal life. This is what God intended all along. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 15. Read verses 50 through 58. 1 Corinthians 15, beginning in verse 50. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, nor does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible has put on incorruption, and this mortal has put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is your sting? O Hades, where is your victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Here it is. People in their physical state will definitely become obsolete. The final state of being is a spiritual existence in which death has no power. The glorified state of perfection as God beings is what we are headed for ultimately. This gives us great hope. Gives us great hope. Turning to Romans 8, verses 18 through 25. Romans 8 and verse 18. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. For the earnest expectation of the creation eagerly waits for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it in hope. Because the creation itself also will be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groans and labors with birth pangs together until now. Not only that, But we also, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, eagerly waiting for the adoption, the redemption of our body. For we were saved in this hope, but hope that is not seen is not hope. For why does one still hope for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we eagerly wait for it with perseverance. We are not the only ones that look forward to this final transformation in our lives. God looks forward to it as well. And so does this creation. Everybody looks forward to it. We will be transformed into a glorified state. Philippians 3, verses 17 through 21 makes this clear. Philippians 3, and beginning in verse 17. Brethren, join in following my example and note those who so walk, as you have us for a pattern. For many walk, of whom I have told you often, and now tell you even weeping, that they are the enemies of the cross of Christ, whose end is destruction, whose God is their belly, and whose glory is in their shame, who set their mind on earthly things. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who will transform our lowly body, that it may be conformed to his glorious body, according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. This explains that there are two possible directions that people can take. One is the end that results from man choosing his own way, using the carnal value system. The carnal value system leads to death. The second death, in fact, that is the destruction of life. But the other direction, which is far better, and which most people will choose, is the path that leads to eternal life. That is the result of God's value system being in control. God's value system leads to eternal life. 1 John chapter 3, verses 1 through 3. First John chapter 3, verse 1. Behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. Therefore, the world does not know us because it did not know him. Beloved, now we are the children of God, and it has not yet been revealed what we shall be. But we know that when he is revealed, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. We have this great future to look forward to, being children of God. So far, the scriptures have described a transformation from physical to spirit in a glorified state. We understand the great magnitude of what that means in this passage. The final state of being is not merely spiritual, but as members of God's family. It's very exciting. 2 Peter 3, verses 10 through 13. That's where I'll go next. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of persons ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness, looking for and hastening the coming day of the Lord, of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with fervent heat. Nevertheless, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. In due time, all physical life of humanity reaches its end state, whether life or destruction. But in addition, the entire physical existence will give way to a spiritual one. This is a mind-blowing truth. The physical universe will cease to exist, being replaced with something brand new, spiritual. Reading from Isaiah 65 and verse 17, "For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered or come to mind." This recreation of the heavens and earth have been part of God's plan from the beginning. Let's turn to Revelation 21, verses 1 through 5. Revelation 21 and verse 1. "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away. Also, there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, 'Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. God himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away.' Then he who sat on the throne said, 'Behold, I make all things new.' And he said to me, 'Write, for these words are true and faithful.'" The trouble that we experience as human beings today will come to an end. There will be no more pain, no death, no more reason for sorrow. In its place, we will have everlasting joy and life. This is the fulfillment of God's value system. It is the fulfillment of God's value system. What the future holds for humanity is very, very exciting and very, very frightening. We are living in a time in the history of mankind when everything is changing so rapidly that we cannot even control it. People fail to really understand what we are doing to ourselves. Humanity is on a collision course with itself that threatens to make us extinct. However, from what we learned in the Bible, we can see that the future of humanity is amazing. And it has nothing to do with AI. However, to the surprise of many people in the world, the rapid advancements of technology will not contribute in any way and making it amazing. I'm afraid that just the opposite is true. Regardless, the return of Jesus Christ and his teachings of the truth and his value system of righteousness is what will help us to truly prosper. This will be true in the millennium and for eternity for those who are glorified as God's children. What's great is that we have a chance now to practice this way of life with that value system right now, today. We don't have to wait to experience the goodness that God promises. We have the privilege to overcome the corrupt way of mankind today. And we can look forward to God's promise to make it obsolete forever when he brings us to glory.